We gotta have a forum again.
Bonnie Grace.
Don Greiner.
Karen Ward.
Stu Martinez.
Hey, we have a full support of councilors tonight. Can you add an agenda items? Nothing?
Not tonight, no.
Okay, great. Has everybody looked at the consent agenda? Need a motion to approve it?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimously passed. Public comments? Any public comments? We just spent through this last half hour, so nobody has anything to say? Okay, we're moving right along. Megan Banks.
Present.
Okay, for Sustainable City.
Yes.
Megan, do you want to come, you can go have a seat up here.
Sure.
We'll use the microphone and the PA system. Yeah, I'll tee this up a little bit. So more than a year ago, Rick Allen and myself had a meeting, and I think Dennis may have been at one of those early meetings too, had a meeting with Megan, and we talked about Sustainable City Year. And I'm not going to talk about what that is, because that's what Megan's going to do. But what I am going to say is that last year, they worked with the city of Redmond, so they were in Central Oregon. But Redmond was also the smallest city to date the program's worked with, and they're at almost 30,000 people. So small cities aren't really what they do. However, their mission is to serve all cities to an extent across the state, and they're looking to do a pilot project. So we were lining up with our small sister city, sisters, in Deschutes County to do a pilot project this year. Well, sisters had to back out, then that arrangement sort of went to the wayside. They're busy working with Albany this year, but what I've been doing, like a chipmunk at her heels, that's a weird analogy, but it is just nagging at Megan saying, hey, don't forget about us though. We still want to see if we can possibly make this happen. And that's why she's here tonight. Check in with the new council, find out what some of the opportunities are, some of the constraints are, and talk about if this is something that we still want to try to line up as we head into budget season, thinking to next fiscal year. So this is something that wouldn't be this year, and by when I say that, I'm talking academic years, so it wouldn't happen in 16-17, it would happen sometime in 17-18. So we're really talking almost a year from now is when it would kind of maybe be rolling out. So that's kind of my intro, and I'm going to pass it to Megan. She's going to do a presentation. We're going to have a good chat.
That was a great intro. I may just ask if there's questions. No, I really do want to, thank you, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having me over this evening. It's always a pleasure to be in Central Oregon, regardless of your weather.
I'm sorry. You can pull it towards you.
I have a standing desk at work, so the opportunity to sit down is pretty nice.
Bring it towards you. It'll come out. There you go.
Is this better?
Better.
Thank you.
I can hear myself also. So thank you for the opportunity to present to you tonight. My goal is really to kind of remind you a little bit about the basics of the program, and then kind of talk about the potential for partnering with Behind. So I have a PowerPoint that will resemble a little bit of what you might have seen before if you were on the council a year ago. I think it might have actually been February of last year that I was here presenting. But so I am the manager of the Sustainable City Year program at the University of Oregon. And we do have a lot of squirrels, and they are at your heels, so that analogy works for me. SCYP is part of a broader initiative at the U of O, the Sustainable Cities Initiative. We are one of five programs in that initiative. Just curious, I don't have a graphic, but that's cool. So what do we do as part of SCYP? We partner with one city for an entire academic year. Traditionally, that city is, so far the smallest has been Redmond, and it's been upwards of Salem's population, or Medford, Springfield, Gresham, those are the other places we've worked. Albany this year is our partner. And the goal is to work on projects that are identified not by the U of O, but by the city. Things that are a priority to you to get done, but perhaps you don't have the resources, or there are, competing goals. Well, the U of O can't. We have plenty of capacity at the U of O. We have faculty that are nationally known in their field, and we have students that are really excited about the opportunity to work for a real client in a real city on work that matters. So why, this is redundant for you. What are you dealing with? Aging infrastructure, constrained budgets, vacancies or slow redevelopment, shifting economies and industries, populations that are growing, and populations that are demanding more from their cities in terms of services. So I might have missed quite a few on there, but these are kind of the overarching things that we commonly hear from all the cities that we talk to and work with. Usually there's logos on that page, but for some reason it doesn't have the
graphics aren't showing up.
No big deal. I mean, really, it's... there we go. So we work, we don't work in one school at the U of O. We work entirely across campus with any faculty who wants to work with us. It's not a requirement to be part of SCYP. So they often will seek us out because it's an opportunity to apply their expertise in a city rather than just a hypothetical project that the students are working on. So it's quite an array of skills that are available across the U of O. So we may, this is a typical year. So a larger city may have upwards of these kinds of numbers. So this is a little different than what we would propose as a pilot for Lapine, which has a population of, you know, 10% of Brighton. but how does it function? We work with someone at the city who's kind of the main contact and the person who has access to everybody, who can get information about particular projects and kind of oversee the coordination that goes on the city end. They're kind of my comparable on the city side. We also hope to see, as often as possible, elected officials and community members, because the more you are involved, the better the outcomes are. And students really want to talk to you. Not that they don't want to talk to their instructors. But, and typically, we also see a city would have a kind of a technical project lead, someone who's going to be the expert in that, I would say field, but it might be that particular project, whether it's public works planning, et cetera. And I realize you have a robust staff of about 7, so there's not a ton of people to choose from. But there does need to be one person who is kind of the technical resource for students. So why do SCYP? Really, we, as I mentioned, we are able to bring resources to you in the form of students. We're able to bring their enthusiasm, their creativity, and you know they can explore and talk about ways of doing things that you might either not have thought of, or I don't know, you may not, as an elected body, want to discuss. But students can raise these questions and kind of explore, test these waters, and they might be a good fit for your community. Things about, you know, we are the sustainable city year program, but sustainability gets defined differently depending on where we are. That's, I mean, increased or more efficient use of resources is how Redmond referred to it. That seemed like a pretty good definition, but really it's unique to every city. The students have a really nice way of engaging people. It's different than when people engage with staff. So there's a lot of opportunity for outreach, and there's a lot of people they can connect with that you might not typically see at a public hearing or a city council meeting. We also bring momentum. I've noticed that from cities in the past that once they go through an SCYP year, there's momentum to carry projects forward. they're enthusiastic and they're really interested in kind of moving those projects forward because they've had a lot of energy put into them.
Well, you were in Redmond earlier today checking up on some of that momentum that they're carrying forward, right?
I wouldn't say it was checking up on them, but...
I was checking in with them
just kind of to see how things were going, and it was really inspiring to see how much they are putting energy towards moving forward projects, either putting them in as city council goals so they can focus on them next year, or continuing those projects that are already goals. So it was amazing, actually. I was really, really impressed. A couple clarifications that I do like to make is the students aren't consultants. You're not replacing the work that you would hire out for a consultant with student work. But that's potentially helpful because the students are not going to get you an answer that you may ask a consultant to get to. You might give them, you're going to issue an RFP and ask a consultant to bring you a report. Students are going to double check that the questions that you're asking and the direction you're going is really appropriate. They're going to be thorough and they're going to be thoughtful just to be sure that this is a good direction for the city of Waukon and whatever topic they're going to be heading. And we like to also focus on results that are value added for the city. We don't want to be someone that just comes in and does something for you. That's not our role. We want to provide meaning to work you're doing. I'll probably skip over this. It's just kind of a few project examples from the different cities.
And on a side note, she brought a lot of material. So we're not making any decisions tonight. We're checking in on this program and how it might fit with what we're looking into for next year. And so these are detailed descriptions of some of those projects that they've done in other cities. So
that one I brought is our most current city.
Excellent. This is all Albany?
It's all Albany.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I'd be happy to provide you a list of...
This is a pretty good list from what I've looked at.
Okay, and if you want a list of the projects that we've worked on, I can pull that. We have that in the form of covers of reports.
Okay.
And so really those past two slides that I didn't give you time to look at kind of, again, reflect the breadth of projects and disciplines across campus that we work with. So in a typical year, and there's some things that would apply to Lapine and others not, we do a competitive process to select our city typically, and after we review their proposals, we select the person we think is the best fit and the most ready to move forward with a SCYP year. We spend some time through the school year matching projects, and this is before classes start related to that particular city. In the summer, we'll have a kind of an open house in the city. We'll have a kickoff event at the U of O following that at the beginning of the school year, September, late September. We spend 9 months working on projects through the various classes. And then in June, we like to think of it as a celebration of work. So one of the things that's different is with Lapine is there's no request for proposal that we would ask you to compete for. We know we want to work with you, and the goal for the city would be to prepare a proposal that demonstrates the projects that that are your highest priority. And that's been done already. Not that it couldn't change, but a version has been done.
Yeah, that was included in your packet, and people have probably seen it before, again, probably a year ago last spring. And we would definitely refine that. We would look at it again over the next handful of months to make sure that it was exactly what we wanted to focus on. Mm-hmm. And then kind of piggybacking into something that Megan's going to talk about is that also making sure that it would be projects that she could find a match for at U of O. So there's a lot to consider with this.
Yeah. So in closing, We typically see a variety of funding sources that feed into paying for this. We don't have university support for the program, so we work with our city to have them fund the program. The part of the reason that I'm here is because my background is actually working for the regional government, and we, as part of that, my main position worked in smaller cities in Lane County. And I feel that the smaller cities are just as constrained when we talked about those pesky issues that cities were dealing with, but you don't have as many resources available to you as the larger cities. So you're in more of a predicament. So it was important to me as kind of a relatively new project manager with the Sustainable City Year program to start to engage with smaller cities. And as part of that, we started conversations with the Ford Family Foundation. And they're interested in participating too, because our values related to small cities a lot. So that they're interested in providing match to the city. So what that enables us, or what that enables is the U of O to be a partner. Trying to think what else. As Corey mentioned, there's other things that are going on in the background. One of which is we have a new partner that has not formally been announced. So I can't announce it here. That would not be a good idea for my job security. But we do have a full-scale partner for the school year of 2017-18. So that starts in September 2017. However, we don't feel that the importance of the smaller cities is any less, even though we have the smaller cities. So our goal is to try to match not only the larger city projects, but if Lapine is still interested in pursuing this, then we want to try to match Lapine's projects also. So we're basically going to try and increase the capacity on the U of O end, and I think that's doable. One thing about the matchmaking is you rarely know ahead of time. That's a little strong. We may know ahead of time based on our experience and projects that have been done in the past if proposed projects are going to be a fit for a class. However, it's always in flux because faculty take sabbaticals. I know we're all jealous about that, but so it's variable year to year is the easy way to say it. But we do a ton of outreach and working with faculty to make these partnerships. And what we're learning, and I mentioned this already, is that they want to work with us. So it's a matter of aligning.
Corey, I know the new counselors here, we voted to, we've got money in the funding for this from last budget. I guess what we need to know is, are we going to carry that over, or does this look like it might happen, or, you know?
And if I can just jump in before you answer. I appreciate that comment, because we did not pursue this last year on the U of O end when Sisters pulled out. We've been kind of, like I said, it's a little bit in flux with this, but what I don't want to have repeat is that Lapine is left out in, not able to participate because of something, an externality that you can't control. So regardless of what happens with Sisters or another small city in Oregon, if Lapine is committed to this, we will move forward on the U of O end.
Okay, that's a good answer. Because you sold it on us last year.
Really?
We were all for it. That's why they put the money in the budget.
Yeah, you're right, Dennis. We budgeted $40,000 across a few funds, and the Ford Family Foundation was going to match that. to make it another $40,000. And this was going to be the broad projects, without refining too much, was going to be called the Wakey Up Junction area. And there were a couple elements within that. And then also the Huntington kind of downtown core area as well. And then with kind of a corollary to how you connect those areas better. How do you connect the north and south ends of the city? So we budgeted the money this fiscal year. The program's not happening this fiscal year. We're entering into budget season for the next few months. So that was a natural time. Appreciate you coming again, Megan, and sharing the presentation and bringing this back up and trying to get a sense of direction from council. So again, we're not making any decisions tonight, but just trying to look at all the factors at play and figure out if we want to, not that there's a little bit of risk with us putting it forward, but this is just something new. It's never been done with a small city. It's like Megan said, there's things that are out of our control to an extent, but hearing you say that U of O wants to work with us and we'll do what you can to make happen, that's encouraging. So
Great. And this may be a little too in the weeds, but I don't want to forget it. It might be advisable to brainstorm again about additional projects so that we have more to potentially match from. It's because there'll be other, since we have another partner that'll also be drawing resources, it could help. And the caveat to that, or kind of the supplemental pieces, to we still want them to be priority projects for the city of Lapine. They need to be things that you want done, not something that you're bringing forward just because you want, you know.
Well, it all comes down to money. So,
Yeah, money and staff time. So it's, you know, what I'd like to know, and again, I don't have to leave tonight going, okay, we're 100% behind it or we're 100% not behind it. But ultimately, before the end of this month, I'd like to know for budget purposes, for refining projects, for continuing to coordinate with Megan, to just lining everything up over the next 6 months that it would take for the timeline she shared to make this happen next year.
Yeah, so, because what I could do is, what this doesn't include is the Ford Family Foundation role in all this, and their kind of, we agreed on the U of O would prepare the grant application and submit it to the Ford Family Foundation. They have to take it to their board depending on the dollar amount, but there's that process in those months that we'll need to kind of consider. The timing though for finding something appropriate to propose to faculty seems to be well within this, if we're going to begin classes in September. We don't actually, as you can tell, we don't start things in September. We start way ahead of time so that they are ready to go on day one. That's essential.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say, because then I want to hear from council, is that if we're preparing for next budget year, that doesn't mean that these projects would start in September. Maybe they both occur in the spring, so that'd be spring 18. But we still need to prepare now if it's going to happen that school year and that fiscal year. Does that make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to happen in the winter. We know that.
Right.
So we kind of got the fall or the spring, so depending on how that should happen.
Yeah,
it's one of the things.
Okay.
Definition of what in flux?
It's kind of that ambiguity that not knowing which faculty will be teaching which class, what term. That's one influx. The other flux is building capacity at the University of Oregon to take on a larger city and a smaller city at the same time.
Great.
Okay, Karen? Nothing?
I noticed from the presentation, if I'm not mistaken, you put on there it's going to take approximately 20 hours a week for staff time. Is that correct?
That's a typical year. I wouldn't think that would be as time-intensive for a smaller city with fewer projects.
Okay.
How many projects did Redmond do? 20-something?
Yeah, almost 30.
Almost 30.
How many did Albany do?
Albany's on track to be about the same. We have 9 classes this term. We had 6 in the fall.
So would you give an educated guess about how much staff time it would take?
I could throw a number out there and I'd say 10 hours a week. I really don't know though, honestly.
Could be half of that time.
Could be half of that time. It could be 5 hours. It could be 5 hours 1 week and it could be 10 hours the next week if we're trying to get either presentations scheduled or we're trying to get data. That's one of the big things that is a time intensive thing on the city side, is to get information to the students. And also there's the part, this isn't exactly what you're asking, but it feeds into the hours, the time necessary to convey the information about Lapine itself to the students.
Well, the reason I ask that is because we have one city manager and we've got a jillion different projects that he's working on. And if he takes half time for this, he's going to have to kind of drop some of it. Even though Jake is here to help with the load, we still have to consider that.
Yeah, absolutely. One, thank you. I'm excited about the program. I've probably been the one that's been nipping his heels to make him nip at yours, because it's something that, although I'm new on council, I was on the budget committee when we talked about this before, too. So I was aware of it. It's something that I talked to business owners in Wakeup about, as well as the community about, and I am excited about it. But one of the questions that I brought up to Corey is the whole relying on another city, which you answered part of that, but also if Lapine chose to put more money aside, because we did budget the money last year, we still have that money. If we chose to add more to it, could that add additional projects?
Yes, and I would, there's some benefit to not having another city as part of the program if we're engaging with the Ford Family Foundation, because they're not splitting their funds. They're just matching whatever Lapine puts in.
So that was the second part of my question, is that if we chose to put more, how would that affect our fund application with the Ford Family Foundation?
The only thing we've talked about with them is a one-to-one match.
Okay.
I don't see that changing, and we would advocate for that.
And the other question I had was about one of the points on the slide, and that was the open house. Is that like community-wide open house that you guys do when you start?
It would be hosted by the city. Just kind of, you know, talking generally about the ideas for projects and classes, and hopefully generating enthusiasm and involvement from the community and stakeholders, as well as elected officials.
Great, thank you.
Okay, but we aren't trying to decide anything tonight. We're just gonna
It's here
and ask her any questions we want.
Yeah, so whatever comes to mind. I mean, her and I have exchanged emails and talked on the phone, and you know, if you come up with another question next week, I can bring that up to her. Maybe this is something we should bring back up with like the work session at the end of the month. We kind of check back get a sense.
Give the council time to think about it, come up with ideas.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pass these out today. I think what I'll do is have them available at City Hall or in your mailboxes to pick up, and then you can take a look at it over again in the next couple months, and we can think about it this month and see how everyone's feeling about it. That sound like a good thing?
Thank you, Megan. On my behalf, I just think it's a great process. And I'm still all for it. Was last year. And thanks for coming to explain again.
Well, I am so glad that you're still enthusiastic about it. So we are too on our end.
Thank you very much.
You leave that on.
Yeah, just leave it on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan. Okay, the next item is a letter of support for Newberry Habitat. Everybody's got the letter in their.
Yeah, Council, in your packet you have a draft letter that I put together based on the work session that we had 2 weeks ago with Habitat in this room. They made a presentation for some some county-owned land, timely, on the heels of the joint session we just had at the Board of County Commissioners earlier. And so based on that meeting, I prepared this letter, and I wanted to share it with all of you and find out if you had any changes that you recommended, language that you thought should be changed. If you don't, I'd be looking for a motion that you support the letter and that you want to send the letter of support to the county on behalf of Newberry Habitat's project and what they're looking to do here in the city of La Pine.
Hey, Connie, how's it serve you?
I appreciate the letter. I also appreciate the extra time and staff time to explain some of the history that I felt I needed before I make a decision last time. And I'm excited for the new opportunity for Habitat, and everything looks good.
I read the letter, and I think it's very much, I'm in support of it.
A letter and a letter.
Still.
Oh, I like it, but I'm wondering, does it meet everything that Habitat is also looking for in the letter?
I have not shared the letter with them yet. I was going to do that after I heard from the council, but before I sent it to the county to get their impression. But from what I heard them describe at the work session, I think this is very in line with what they're looking for and meets their needs and provides them with an extra piece of their case that they're going to go then make to the county, because they still have to make their presentation to the county for the land donation. So that's kind of a long way of answering, I don't know yet, but I think so.
Okay.
I support. Anybody want to make a motion?
Do you still have more?
No motion. Or a work session?
This is a work session. We're going to make a motion that this letter is acceptable to the county.
Yeah, just a motion that you accept the letter and you want to send it to the county.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion.
Any seconds on that?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 So, question. We approved this, and Corey shows it to Habitat, and some changes need to be made.
Well, that's a conversation I'm going to have with Dwayne. I'm planning to talk to him tomorrow morning, and okay. If he sees something he doesn't like, then I could bring it back to council, or I might just have to tell Dwayne that this is the letter we're going to send. So, I think what my thought is that if council is in support of this, that you guys hold the cards here. You've heard the presentation. You know what they want. If you are in support of how this letter addresses how you feel about the project and about the county land, then I think we should stick with that letter and send it to the county.
Okay.
And they will get a copy of it. They'll be CC'd on the letter, but it's from us to the county.
Right. So, and I was in 100% support of it
okay.
at our last meeting. I just want to make sure it covers all of the bases.
Okay.
So, and I think it does. Okay. Aye for myself.
Aye.
We're just waiting for an aye from Stu.
Okay, lost my train there for a while. Okay, any negatives, any nays? No nays? Okay, Corey. Can we pass it, move it on?
Thank you, Corey.
Yep.
We have two Habitat gentlemen here, so they'll be happy with that. Okay, moving on to the COIC grant application. Corey?
Yeah, this is a proposed grant application for technical assistance and outreach to design the downtown transit center, the property that ODOT is purchasing on 4th Street and Highway 97 in Huntington. For a transit center in the downtown area. One thing that we need to do, and one thing that I've realized very fast, is how quickly a year goes by. And what we need to think ahead to is, say, summer of 2018, which is really a year and a half from now. And we need to think about, what is that transit center going to look like then, and how are we going to get there? So what we need to do is we need to come up with some planning capacity, so an opportunity to have open houses, get community input, talk about the vision that we've discussed, but then actually put it a plan on paper. Is it going to be phased in over three phases? Where are you putting Where are you putting the benches? Where are you putting the parking? Where are you putting the shelter? Where are you putting the landscaping? How are you fitting all this on that site? So I was approached by Scott Acock, who's the Economic and Community Development Manager for COIC. And he said that he's putting together a grant on behalf of really the rural, smaller rural cities in the Tri-County area. So Madras is involved, Primeville's involved, Sisters, Lapine. And he's trying to find a way to get extra resources for rural community amenities. And so after him and I had talked a few times over the past month, I came up with, well, we have an asset. We have this ball of clay, this property, and we know what we want it to be, but we don't know how to get it there. So what this proposal is that he's applying for is to bring about $10,000 of technical assistance to the city. That means we could hire a special planner, we could contract with a consultant to have open houses, and they can draw up the exact plans as a result of that community input. And then also some of Scott's time, COIC's time, I think it was $3,000 of their in-kind contribution, so staff time. And then there might have been $3,000 of city staff time in-kind as well, but that just means us putting our time into it. We're gonna do that no matter what. So really, I just wanted to make sure that sounds like something we don't have to do anything else at this point other than tell Scott that we think it's a good idea and he should try to get these funds. We don't know we're gonna get it, but it's an opportunity that I felt was that we should, for a little effort, try to get a good reward from. So.
What's that? Council comments?
Does this fall in line with ODOT's schedule? Because I thought we were at one of their briefings with the council, that very question was asked, and they said we weren't helping.
So these funds would be available over the next 2 years, basically. So once, we know the streetscape project's coming through in 2018. We know that's going to do the frontage improvements on the highway. I'm working on Gary to try to get them to turn 4th Street and do some improvements there. But other than that, there's not any plans or funding necessarily identified or set aside to actually build the transit center on the property. What we need to do first is get a plan. Then we can talk with COIC more, who runs Cascade East Transit, the bus system, and also ODOT to say, hey, we see that grant application. We want to apply. Here's our plan. And that's why we need, $500,000 to construct phase one or something like that. So these grant funds will be available whenever ODOT acquires the property, and then we can start planning and we can start doing whatever we want on it, basically. My understanding.
So
does that answer your question?
Once we acquire the funds, we can use them at any time.
These grant funds, from what Scott has told me, would be available over the course of the next 2 years. And that clock doesn't start today. Probably, it would be when the grant's awarded, okay. So probably sometime in the spring or so.
So it won't hurt us to go
for
it and have it approved and then not use it for a while.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And just as a side note, I've been looking at other grant opportunities. TGM has a quick response grant. I won't go into that right now. But I've been looking at other opportunities to find out, again, how do we get this planning process underway so that we can actually start building the amenity instead of talking about it. It takes time, so we're not going to rush it, but we still need to get the funding, go through the process, and start taking steps towards where we want to get. So I hope that kind of answers.
Okay. Anything else?
Don't we have an urban renewal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is inside the urban renewal district.
And aren't they supposed to be the ones that are in control of this?
They won't be in control. They'll be a partner. They'll be a partner for sure. I mean, the urban renewal agent district and the board, which is part of the city, it's in our city budget. That's a source of funds in the future that I think could help build this transit city center place. In terms of designing it, I think that we can get some. I think we can get some funds. We could just pay for it, but I think it's also advantageous to try to get funds when you can. So it's a good question.
We could also apply for some monies for a train station also, right? For the future.
Possibly, for transport from the Amtrak location.
I'd like to see it go from South County all the way north. Transportation. And there are grants for that.
Okay, Don.
Oh, I'm in favor of going ahead on it.
Yeah, I think it's an obvious next step, and I think it's great that you're looking outside the city's resources for opportunities to that will benefit the city. And as a newer city, people want to give us money, and I think that you know, we've made the movement forward to use that property as a transit center, and now people have this huge question in their mind of what it's going to look like, and this will be a great opportunity for the community to get involved and give their input and get something going. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, Corey.
Okay, good. We'll I'll keep you updated as that grant application plays out, and hopefully they'll have good news in a few months. So stay tuned for that. I appreciate that.
Okay, next item, urban renewal annual report.
Yeah, I included this partly because it's the first time we've had to do it. It'll be an ongoing annual process that the city, as a result of having an urban renewal district inside the city limits, will have to do. I'm not going to go through it by length. There's a copy by state law available here at City Hall. There's a notice published in the Bend Bulletin, again, another state requirement, letting people know that we have put this report together. It outlines, as everyone knew, some of the trade-offs of what other taxing districts have foregone that are now in the urban renewal district's coffers. And it outlines some of the urban renewal plan in terms of the different goals. It shows how much money we received, which is a small sum. That number will increase exponentially over the years as the tax base continues to increase. So anyways, I don't have any specific points other than just sharing it and seeing if anyone had questions and letting you know that it's an important requirement and document pertaining to urban renewal district.
Well, it's nice to know that we are actually getting some funds in it. So that's, thanks for that. Okay, then the budget preparedness process.
Budget calendar. So one of the first documents that staff needs to create when we're thinking about the upcoming budget process over the next 4 months is the budget calendar. So really it's working backwards of, you know, when are we going to have our budget hearing and adoption by the council? When are we going to do all the appropriate state required noticing? When are we going to have our budget committee meetings? When are we going to notice for that? And then get back to when are we going to appoint our budget officer and our budget committee? So really I'm sharing this with you to just let you know that I've put this together already. I'm thinking ahead to the budget. We've got the binders with the worksheets of where are we at with year-to-date expenditures, so we can project what our projected expenditures are going to be, what our expected revenues are going to be, and start to put together next year's budget. So we have an ad out for budget committee members. I believe we have 3 vacancies right now. You do need to live within the city limits and be a registered voter. I believe we've got 1 application in, and I'm hoping we can get a couple more at least this month, and then make a decision and appoint budget committee on March 8th, exactly a month from now. So this is as much of me kind of taking the first step and putting my toe in the water for starting the budget process as it is just sharing with all of you that, and as many of you know, this budget process will take a lot of staff's time and energy, and it's really important that we get it right and do our best so that then when we have the audit presentation 2 years from now, it'll be reflecting well on next year's budget. Mix up all the budget years. But, so just sharing that with you and seeing if you have any questions at this point.
Anybody have any questions?
Just one real quick one. The requirements for the budget committee are just that they live within the city limits? Is that what the...
I believe so. I have to double check that, but that's my...
I think they may need to be a registered voter,
yeah,
too.
Registered voter. Uh-huh. My understanding. We'll double check.
Anybody else? Nothing?
No, time just flies, Corey. Seems like you were just doing this.
Yeah, you really don't get a lot of time to...
Oh, thanks for staying on top of it. Okay, now we're going to... Jake's going to give us a little overview of the Public Works Department.
Oh, that makes sense. You guys ready for some fun?
Yep.
Absolutely. Little life music. Let's do this. Disco ball coming down from the ceiling. Oh, my God.
No, this is normal.
I'm going to set up here so I can see what I'm talking about and see your beautiful faces.
And not be in the way.
No rhubarb in this. Oh.
In all buying public works, water, sewer, streets, cemetery, we all know there's a lot of other facets to that too, right? This presentation is just to bring everybody up to speed on what we've done, what we're doing, and what we kind of plan to do. Just give you an idea of some of the day-to-day stuff, some of the problems we've had in the past, and some of the stuff we want to do in the future. As you all know, I started 9 months ago, it's gone by fast, but I was brought in to change up things. Obviously, I had the background. I worked for the districts prior, worked for the city when it transitioned, and went to Bend and learned a bunch of new stuff, how to do things. And was brought back here to incorporate those new things and more so incorporate a new atmosphere around here. Now, obviously there was a lot of things when I worked with the districts I saw that I wanted to change and put the infrastructure and how we did stuff, but I think first you got to start with the atmosphere, how you go about doing that and building relationships with your crew and the community you work in. On day one, the Public Works crew and I sat down and discussed how we have an opportunity to make this place a great system again. And that's incorporating a new atmosphere and how we approach the way we work on our system. And before, there wasn't a whole lot of we and how we did stuff around here. A lot of the guys didn't have a chance to view their opinions of how things should have been done, and they weren't brought up to speed on how we were doing things and how we were doing things going into the future. And I just want to take a moment and have Johnny and Mike stand up real quick. You're looking at the Public Works staff right now, including myself. One of my main goals is to work as a team, not just one guy working on how we do things in this town and how we want things to look. And I made that pretty evident, I hope, on day one. Sometimes change isn't easy, but I can tell you these guys were very receptive to it. That's something they wanted. They wanted to see the system flourish again, and they wanted to do things a little bit differently, too. So that was pretty easy. That was the easy part, changing the atmosphere, right? Sometimes changing the stuff out in the field can be a little bit more difficult when you first get here. So I'm going to talk about some of the projects we've done in 2016. Starting with day one and the first week I was here. I kind of jokingly, sometimes we feel like firemen. There's Johnny and Mike going out to fix some fire hydrant or a sewer pump. I use the terminology fireman because sometimes it feels like we're putting out fires. And it's never a good feeling to have. You want to be good at putting out fires, but it's not something you want to pride yourself in doing all the time. So the first few months we felt like firemen, I'll be honest with you, but we took it with good attitude and we knew that we'd press through it. And we'll talk about some of the projects we've done. I'll show you some of them here. Day one, I first started, the guys told me, and I noticed, our lagoons were at full capacity. They're ready to breach the dikes. Now, that's always a good feeling to have you walk up there and go, oh, all right.
Oops.
We didn't irrigate the year before. That's nice. So let's start irrigating, okay? Easy fix, right? Well, irrigation pumps weren't working. So we had no way of getting the water out to the hayfield. And I'll just make a side note, you know, the guys, they make all this stuff known, but sometimes it falls on deaf ears. And I assure you, my ears were not deaf to it. And we worked through each of these problems and pushed forward. We worked on them together. I involved them in every aspect of it. Sometimes we had to bring in some outside help to help us fight through it, but we did. Got the pumps working. Okay, cool. We got water going on the hayfield. Chlorine injection's not working. That's pretty crucial to have chlorine on that effluent water per DEQ regulations. So had some help come in and we got that going.
and also noticed at that time when we're, you know, getting all the chlorine going, that there was no leak detection inside the chlorine room. For if there's a leak, you wouldn't know it until you walked into it. That's pretty scary situation for you guys to walk into, and myself. So we got a leak detector put in, and we have respirators we wear, and we usually do it as a two-man operation. That way if somebody goes down, there's somebody there to watch. Aeration basin wasn't operational. Our main aerator for our lagoon was inoperable, wasn't working. It's called aeration for a reason. There's aerobic microorganisms out there that need air. They're oxygen loving, and so it's a pretty crucial part of your wastewater lagoon. We got that running, so this is all week one. Our freshwater well was non-operational at our sewer plant. That means our drinking water out there, or any other type of water we use. We have a little private well out there, and it was one of the pumps that burned up, so no water out there, and it's pretty crucial for your sampling procedures, cleaning your equipment, the screening processes for septic coming into the plant, and restroom needs. So when I got in there, the guys made it known that it needed a fix, and it just was fell on deaf ears, so we got it fixed. They were using lagoon water to fill the toilet so they could use the restroom when I got here. And week one still. Proper sampling procedures, daily, weekly, monthly. There's all kinds of stuff we have to do, regulatory, for our drinking water system and our wastewater system. And we made that one of our big focuses. I know we pay a little bit more to some of our lab fees, but we're doing things the right way. We're not slipping stuff under the radar. We're going through it the right way, the right processes. And a lot of times it would be all three of us doing it together just so we could learn that we're doing it the right way. Just build the confidence. Of course, June 1st, so we're in week two. Receptage we banned from our lagoons because we've seen the toll it was taking on our lagoons. It wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking good up there. They were just, this was something that needed to happen. And I think the vendors knew that too. They knew the day was coming, but it just never did come. So we pulled the trigger on that. We got receptage banned from our lagoons. Obviously, this brings up the new septage receiving station. We've been in the works of that. Obviously, it's increasing. We've worked on that septage receiving station twice this year, once this winter and once this fall. Had to get it back up and running again. Takes three guys with a backhoe, and it's a fun ordeal, let me tell you. We increased the septage rates to help accommodate this new septage receiving station. Local rate, 6 cents a gallon. Outside rate, 9 cents a gallon. Another thing that should have been done in the past, this isn't complicated stuff, just stuff we made happen. During this process, we had a new leaky uplift station go in this year. A lot of inspections up there. I had to tie in the old system to the new system, reroute it. There's a lot of work that goes into that, a lot of daily stuff up at that lift station. Got a functional lift station now, it's working great. Pumps are working awesome. Other lift stations, had some problems with the industrial park lift station. That's the one on Reed Road. There was only one pump in that lift station when I got here. And it was wired above ground going into the control room because it had burned up once, and that was the easiest way they could figure out to get the wires going to it. So we addressed that. Now we got two pumps in there. You need two pumps in a lift station, one for lead and lag and backup. Just some fun stuff. Booster station was one of our big projects too. You guys have heard a lot about that. Public Works Committee's heard a lot about that. Got that up and running again. This was an asset that when I worked for the districts, it never was in use, and it still wasn't in use when I came back, so let's get it running again. And we did. It just took a lot of troubleshooting and daily monitoring of it to make sure it's working right. Well site monitoring and inspections. We had a team of divers come in this year and monitor our reservoirs and make sure they were in working order and didn't need any maintenance that they should be getting. It's the first time our reservoirs have been dove. Just daily monitoring up there, maintenance. Fire hydrant maintenance, started that this summer. just we're starting programs that should be in place, just starting the footwork of them. So when we move into the future, this town's growing so fast. It's a great time to start getting some of these programs into place. Standards and specifications, a big one. That's something that's needed with this development that's coming. Things, infrastructure we want in the ground the way we want it. And a standard that holds that criteria to that. And we got engineers in this room that can attest to that. SDCs is another one, right? We'll be hearing about that here coming up pretty quick. That's been a lot of legwork going into that, making sure we got that right. Wastewater water expansion improvement project. A lot of legwork into that too. Coordinating with our agencies in the community. I mean, the county was here today. That's one of our big players. We've joined the Public Works partnership with them. They're instrumental in helping us. That goes up to ODOT's another big player we've worked with a lot. Built some really good relationships with ODOT and the county since I've been here. Streetscape projects first in 97. We're looking to add on to that all the way down First Street and a little bit more in 97. Storm drains and flooding assistance. We've been pretty busy with that lately. Yeah. Snow removal. We can talk about that too. Install a snow plow on the service truck so we can go in and help our contractors and plow some of our own vital assets too. Created some service trucks, put some toolboxes on, put some emergency lights, just some simple stuff. Cemetery cleanup, assisting in burials, code enforcement. We're kind of focused on RV and trash cleanup. That's kind of our two big ones we focused on this year. And just want to hand you guys a schedule of how we do stuff. We schedule it out every week. I'll hand one out to you guys. It's color coordinated, green sewer, blue water, streets and cemeteries brown. You'll see who's on call on the weekly schedule every day after hours. Just stuff like that, I'll hand it to you.
We're so quiet.
I like you.
That's very powerful.
So you'll see some of those daily tasks that we talked about on there. You're going to see water and sewer rounds. That's something we check on every morning. You guys will split up. They check our well sites. They check our sewer lift stations. This is something that hasn't been done in the past. Sometimes it's been suggested, oh, let's go do sewer rounds, maybe once a week, maybe once a month. We do it every day. We're checking on all that, our main assets for this town. You'll see different work schedules on there, even if it's maintaining our F-250, changing the oil and the air filters, that's going to be on there. All kinds of different stuff. You can see code enforcement on there, maybe an afternoon. We try to plug that in, this different stuff. Just trying to be proactive instead of reactive, like we had to be when I first started here, trying to push forward into the future, plan our stuff we want to do, and maintain our infrastructure. As you can see, preventative maintenance is crucial. Now we're going to talk about some of the stuff we want to look forward into the future. Some of these preventative maintenance programs that will help our infrastructure. I like that kid too. These are the big items that are needed to help the system be sustainable and flourish. So I mentioned we do our daily rounds, check on our pumps, check on our well site. Now, telemetry is one of the big things. Spicy saw that was needed when I first got here. And the city of Bend uses it on every asset they have out there. They can monitor their assets via computer back at the office. They can see when the pumps kick on during the day. They can see peak flows. They can see a lift station when there's an alarm going off. We can't see these things unless we're physically there. So if a lift station has a high alarm and the pumps aren't working, our first call is the residents up the main line that's backing up. That's a hard pill to swallow. So we talk about telemetry, communication with our vital assets in the field. Current daily rounds isn't the ideal way to obtain enough information or data to optimize the functionality of our systems. Example, high-level float alarms, or peak daily flows. When is our peak daily flow for the water system? So these are just little examples of that. Some of the maintenance programs that I'd like to see really get pushed forward is a program for pump-intercepted tanks. Just a a means and a how to how we do that, not just, well, this week we'll pump some tanks and see how that goes, and then we get pulled off daily to do other tasks. I'm talking a full-out schedule to get a section of town done for the next 5 years. What section that's going to be, and what kind of cycle is that going to be on? And we tossed around the idea of possibly opening this up for a contract. Maybe we give a subdivision open for a contract for a summer and we see how that goes. Just to ensure that these tanks are getting pumped. It's a pretty vital asset to our system. And it frees our guys up to get some of these other daily preventative maintenance things done. You're going to see a hydrant maintenance program start up this spring. You're going to see a valve training program start up this spring, where we're going to go through and get on all our mainline valves on our water system, something that's never been done, which is pretty crucial for a water system, be able to access valves and make sure they're functional. And obviously, septic receiving stations on the docket still, and some lift station upgrades, always in the works. When I talk about lift stations, I'm talking mostly about upgrading pumps and the controls in those lift stations, developing a preventative maintenance procedure to ensure functionality of these assets. Example, have an electrician perform regular maintenance work, not just show up when there's a problem, when something's failed, or just replacing pumps when they fail. Having a program that puts these on a regular schedule to be replaced. We're monitoring them, knowing that they're starting to fail. They're not putting out as much output as they used to in the past. Any questions? That's all we've been up to.
Well, that's good to know what you do every day, Kate. And these gentlemen, too.
I will add that these guys are here on their own dime tonight. They wanted to be here to support the cause. This isn't just a job. It's something we like to do, and it's a small town. We're part of the community. We enjoy it, and we want to make this place a great place to work.
Thank you. Any comments from the council?
Where to start?
Or somewhere. Ask me a question. I'm ready. Say when.
I don't think my questions. I mean, I'm a little pissed off. I mean, not at you. I'm proud that you guys are here to do this. I had no idea this shit was going.
You can use that terminology in our line of work.
Honestly, that we had this kind of problem. The biggest problem I was made aware of was when I got a phone call from then Rick Allen, who said, beware, the Bulletin's got a story about a DEQ fine that the city of Lapine is facing for some problems out at their sewer plant. And it was record keeping. So there was a fine attached to it. And that was the only problem we were told about.
I'm not trying to...
But
some of the hurdles we had to do, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus.
No, you're not. And it's just, I'm just a little, shocked and embarrassed that you had to come into something like this.
It's okay. I lost a little bit of sleep, but no big deal.
A little.
He knew what he was getting into.
But,
kind of. Maybe not all of it.
I think the first council meeting you came to, and it was like, a couple of us said that we were proud that you were back here in your hometown doing what you're doing, but this even stresses it more. It stresses it for the whole public works department.
These guys were pretty open arms about it. They were ready for a change, I think, when I first started. They were ready for a next step forward and changing the way we do things around here. Well, it made it pretty easy.
I'm glad it was easy
at first, but it made it easier.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got someone that could take the lead and get it accomplished. And
it's not just me, it's all three of us.
Right.
Or all staff.
But there has to be a captain of the team.
Right.
And you came in, and then that gave them the courage to step forward and say, hey, let's make the team. So all of you, I think we need to look at our pay scale again.
No.
Let's
not go there. Let's go back to public eyes questions.
Don't worry, we've got a good relationship with the county, so we could borrow some from them. No, I just, again, it's amazing. amazing what you guys have done, and as a counselor, I am a little embarrassed because we had no idea this was going on. So thank you guys.
Karen.
You're doing a great job. Lots of information here.
Here you go.
That I had no clue, okay? But now I do. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the work you all do.
I think having this in front of me kind of answers some of my questions, because as I drive around through town and I see some of the city pickups going here, there, and someplace else, and
don't shut up.
Wondering what's going on or why they're doing it, this kind of helps. It gives you an idea and an understanding, and I really appreciate that, Jake, and I'd like to pass on a little compliment too. And I told you before, and I'll tell you again, the snow removal this year is far, far ahead of last year. And I really think that you're doing a fine job. However, I think we need to look at it again in the spring when there's no snow there, and make plans for next year or the next time and see where we can put it that we can avoid some of the problems we've had this year. But basically, I think you and the guys are doing a real good job, and I'm proud to say that you're part of the city of La Pine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome. It was a really informative telling what you did, and as a business owner, I appreciate the proactive versus reactive. That's the way you go into my office and ask my girls, they would tell you I say that all the time. It's huge. It makes it where you aren't firemen.
Yeah.
I get that. And just kudos on safety. I picked up on that throughout your presentation and doing things correctly and looking into the future. You know, what do we need next? What can we do? What can we do to, you know, save the city money, having the telemetry systems where you're not having to drive out there every day, and you can work on other things, which brings to mind what the county suggested. You know, are we going to take over some of their roads, and what's that going to look like, you know, in the future? And the more automated our systems are and the less man hours we have to have out there driving around, then, you know, the more that can happen and make our city grow. And I am curious how the rate increase was received. I haven't heard any feedback on that.
For septage rates?
Yeah.
I think they knew it was coming, just like no grease coming anymore. They knew it was coming. I think the locals really appreciated it. We did a two-tier approach, gave them a little cut, a little break. And the outside vendors they're slowed down right now because it's winter, but I think we'll see them still using our facility quite a bit in the future. And I kind of told them it was going to happen and reached out to them quite a bit before we actually did it. So I think that kind of dampened the blow a little bit.
Right, great. The other thing I noticed too was you taking a look to see, you know, if doing some of the services yourself or putting them out to bid would be beneficial for the city. That's huge. I worked for a general contractor in my past, and we always bid everything out ourselves to see what it would cost us, and then turn around and had other people submit proposals. And sometimes we were lower, and sometimes they were. And
it might end up being we might be doing cheaper ourselves, but this is something we're going to take a look at, I think.
Exactly. It's a great approach. That and just to go for full circle back around to the county's presentation and the plaques that we got and the small town strong, you understand that, and I'm proud that you're a public works director. Thanks, Jake.
Thank you.
And I'll just say that I remember the hiring process when you came in for the interview.
I remember sitting down with you. Yeah.
And we made a good choice.
Yep.
Thank you.
That was easy.
And I think it's good that we have reports like this.
So no, I think it's awesome. This
so we don't want staff is delight here.
Yeah. So the guys showed up too and supported you. That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Okay, we didn't have any other matters. Public comments.
I've got one. Of course. Hi, Gary Gordon, Parker Beck. I want to thank Jake especially for his sense of public awareness. 2-3 weeks ago, he was on my radio show. We had a great discussion about public works and about your duties and about how everything is working, and it was a very, very informative show, and he didn't have to come and do that. But you could tell instantly that he really cares about the community and wants to explain things to the general public out there. We talked about snow removal and sewer systems and all that other stuff, and it was really very, very, very good, and he didn't hesitate one moment. Jumped right in there and came, and we really thank you for that.
Thank you, Gary. Small tone strong.
There we go.
Anybody else? Okay, staff comments?
I'll keep it pretty brief. I've been, as you probably noticed, I've been sharing things, you know, via email. I'm not trying to overload or give you too much to read. Stay informed and trying to manage council meeting lengths and be conscientious of everyone's time and ability to jump from one topic at A to another topic at Z. And I think this presentation gives you a sense of there's a lot going on in water and sewer. There's a lot going on in planning and development. There's a lot going on with, you know, budget here coming up soon. So there's a lot in motion. It's all really positive stuff. Looking to later this month, at the work session on the 22nd, we're going to be discussing, we're going to have visitors discussing the expansion project. We need to make a decision in the next month or so on that $1.2 million of CDBG funds. And we'll get in, I'm going to save that conversation for then, but we're going to take some time. We're going to take 30 minutes or so to discuss that. We're also ready to come back and have the discussion that, because the time's right and we've done it right and we've talked with everybody correctly, to have the SDC discussion and then get the noticing out for that and have John with FCS Group start drafting the resolutions and ordinances, but we need some feedback based on the report from council. So I'm planning to have both those on the 22nd. With that said, we'll have a couple other items. We might have a special session either at the end of this month or early March to talk about, with our legal counsel, the dynamics between the council, city staff, looking at our council rules and procedures. How does all that fit together? And that's a good conversation that I think is healthy for councils and cities to have. And then as a part of that, I think we should also have some sort of a council goal setting session. And that might be just building from those four tenets that fit and rang so true 10 years ago that maybe just need not changing, but a little updating. Or you want to add one more, or you want to put an emphasis over somewhere else. Some guiding principles so that when we look at, okay, we're doing this project over here, that connects to this goal, or customer service, we're meeting that through these means, ways that we can measure and make sure we're working in the right direction to do what we do well. So anyways, just a couple things, some more food for thought. Other than that, I don't think I have any other staff comments, unless any other staff has any comments.
I kind of leave you guys out this time. Nothing? Okay, council comments? Stu, let's start with you. Any comments?
I think this was probably one of the most productive evenings that this council has had in a long time. With the county meeting before this and tonight, I think got quite a bit accomplished. And we were informed of quite a bit. I think that's what I appreciate the most.
I'm listening.
Is that we were informed. So I appreciate that quite a bit. As far as other comments, you know, the biggest, I heard twice today that Lapine had the best plowed roads in Central Oregon. So there's another tip of the hat for the public works guys. And I want to also, because I did bring one road up to Jake's attention, and I appreciate the way he listened and pointed a few things out to me as well. So it's that open communication that is happening that was never there before. As far as meetings that I've attended, there hasn't been any because it's been the holiday season, so I think we're going to be in a full blast starting real soon, so that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Karen.
Well, I said it earlier, and I really mean it. I think that for the first time in 20 years, I saw the partnership between the county and us, feeling like we're all working together and working for the same goals. The fact that one of my things for a long time has been that we needed to do something about housing for people that couldn't or thought that they could never own a house. I see that coming down the road. That makes me feel really proud of what we're doing here. Many times I sat here thinking, am I supposed to go there as far as what I'm thinking, or is that what the people really want? But when I see it all come together, it makes me feel like every day and every hour that I spend here is well worth my time. I do need to say to our staff, and I mean this with all my heart, I see having a staff that is actually the best thing that ever happened to Lapine. So I feel very proud of us, and I think our city is moving forward, and I'm very proud of that too. Thank you.
Well, I think we had an excellent meeting with the county commissioners this evening. It cleared up a lot of things. And I think especially one of the things that I really appreciated is Jake's presentation. There's a lot of things that I've seen in the last few years that I thought were going very smoothly. I mean, it just appeared that way because the person in charge made you think that. And I'm finding out now that maybe all that I heard and was all that was told to me isn't correct. And I appreciate the fact that we're bringing it out in the open and we're being transparent. And everybody that wants to take the time can find out about it. And I appreciate our staff. I really do. All of the staff. I think we've got an excellent staff, both in the office and out in the field. And I want to compliment you and let you know that I, for one, along with almost everybody, I believe, on the council, appreciates all the effort that you put in. Thank you very much, everybody.
Well, I won't repeat everybody else. It was a great meeting, and the staff was awesome. But I do have a quick update. I went to COIC meeting on February 2nd. And it was a new meeting for them, a lot of new people on the board this time, a lot of people are gone, and so not a ton of things happened at the meetings other than just really updating the new people there of what COIC does and all that they're involved in. And it was eye-opening to me to see the youth programs and the education programs and some things like I didn't even know we had a trucking school in Central Oregon, and we do. So really good information for me, and I look forward to being a part of that board and bringing more stuff back in the future. I think that's all I have.
And my comments are, I'm not going to give anybody great pats on the back, but the city's doing a great job. And that's
can I add one more thing? Connie reminded me of something that's been on a sticky note on my desk to remind all of you for a while, and I wanted to wait for a council meeting. So we received back from Arts Central the funding that we gave them to do the mural project. So it had to go through some legal channels, and I don't know where it went, and we had to shake it a little more, and then all of a sudden we got our money back. So that's good news. In terms of that project, that mural project that was going to happen, there was also, you know, significant funds. I think it's $8,000, $9,000 from the state that was going to come into the city of Lapine to create that project. So I think it was a few weeks ago. I met with the gentleman from the Oregon Arts Commission about trying to find a way to keep those funds here in Lapine. Right? They already awarded it to basically the community. Unfortunately, the project wasn't able to happen. So I'm working with him. I haven't talked with him for a few weeks, but I'll be checking in with him over the next few months to find out if there's a way to keep those funds here in the city. So stay tuned for that. But the quick updates, the good news is we got about $4,500 back from our central, and hoping to maybe keep some of those state funds here as well to see something this coming summer. So
I'd like comments from Trey down there. Any comments?
I have not been here long, but it looks like we're headed in a really good direction. I will say that.
And one more comment. Corey reminded me. I just want the city to be open, just constantly open. I have a Facebook account. I'm trying to put stuff on there that I do. It's all public knowledge, and that's what builds a city. And I think we're starting to do a really good job at that. And I'll ask for
motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. You making that motion?
I'll make a motion.
And second?
Second.
Favor? Do you have to do the all in favor stuff or any of the meeting?
I think so, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.